Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see you. Do you know what today in the church is called? It's called Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration, longest word you'll probably learn for a couple of years. But let's say it together, okay? Transfiguration Sunday. One more time and we'll ask for their help. Transfiguration Sunday. On Transfiguration Sunday, do you know what happened, that first transfiguration of Jesus? Pastor Scharf just shared with us from the gospel lesson. What happened that day is Jesus revealed himself to be more than just a human being, but as God himself. His face changed, his clothes changed, came completely white. They weren't just dealing with a guy from Galilee. They had the Son of God, and you and I get to see him today on the pages of Holy Scripture. But not only was that the miracle that day, the second miracle was who was there talking with Jesus. Do you remember who it was? Who was talking with Jesus up on the mountain with his disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were eyewitnesses? Do you remember?
Moses and Elijah.
Moses, well done. That was a detail most people miss. Moses and Elijah, and that's what I want to talk with you today. Moses and Elijah were two of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, only they had been gone for 900 years. How could they be there with Jesus that day? Well, because Jesus is God, and he demonstrates that. He has power. He can summon anyone, anytime, and he was with them. But what were they talking about? Well, listen carefully, because I'm going to be reading on that account again. And you know what they were talking about, the Bible says? They were talking about Jesus' upcoming suffering and death. So really, if you think about it, they weren't just talking about his plans. They were talking about you and about me. And now Jesus had come to rescue us and save us from our sins, and nothing would stop him. And that's what transfiguration means, that we can trust what Jesus says is absolutely true. You have a question? Your little cousin is getting baptized. Absolutely. Cyrus is getting baptized. Isn't that a big deal? That is a huge deal. I know. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm going to be there too. But you know what? Not only do we get excited about baptism, we get excited about the transfiguration of Jesus. Listen to what I'm going to be talking about in the message. Let's pray to God and ask him to help us trust in him. Dear Jesus, thank you for being transfigured before us so that we can see who you really are. Thank you for the eyewitness account of Peter and the others. That's reliable. And if we can trust that, we can trust everything you say to us in the Bible. Forgive us those times we don't listen to you. And Lord, change us by the power of the Spirit to take you at your word. Bless us today and always. And thank you for giving us beautiful weather. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we have more reliable testimony of people who were actually there, who saw Jesus, not just as a fake news, but not as fantasy, but as absolute truth, that Jesus truly walked on our planet to save you and me from our sins. Listen to what that transfiguration of Jesus means in Peter's own words from 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. The Bible says, and it's printed up for you on the screen, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. This is God's word, we pray. Lord Jesus, sanctify us by your truth. Your inspired word is truth. Amen." You may be seated. In the name of our transfigured Lord, dear Christian friends, if you've spent much time watching network TV, you probably had this experience while watching your favorite comedy sitcom or your drama series. All of a sudden, as you're watching the TV or your screen, a newscaster appears, interrupting what you're watching, saying, "We interrupt this program for a special announcement." Now, they've got your attention. A news anchor appears and tells you about a breaking story that's happening nationally or even internationally. What's happening in the markets, what's happening in politics, what's happening in a country, literally around the world. Video cameras take you on the scene to update you with the latest details. A trusted reporter appears and gives you the latest updates. Here in 2026, I think it's fair to say, we don't just live in a news-conscious society, but maybe a news-obsessed society. We want to know everything, and we want it now. I think about all of the advances in the last 20 years, and I'm just amazed at the gifts God's given us. 24-hour news stations. You didn't get that in my day. In fact, in my day, you got three stations if you were blessed, and not all of them came in very well. Nowadays, there's 24-hour news. CNN, Fox News, NBC. You also have, not only that, you have ESPN, sports news, 24 hours a day. You have entertainment news, 24 hours a day. Streaming video, social media. News stories are beamed around the world. What used to take days now literally takes moments. And we get to hear about what's actually happening. In our sermon reading for today, we have an even more important eyewitness account. Our reporter is none other than Simon Peter himself, Jesus' closest disciple. He reports to us on the scene about the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. You know what happened. Professor Scharf just shared it with you, and I did too. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus took his closest followers, Peter, James, and John, up a mountain, and then something remarkable happened. On this mountain, these men were eyewitnesses. They saw with their own eyes who Jesus truly is. His identity is revealed as the strong Son of God. Well, today, we're going to be taking a closer look at that eyewitness account. And as we do, we're going to consider this theme: did you catch Peter's eyewitness report? We'll take a closer look at what Peter saw. We'll listen to what he heard. This weekend is known throughout Christendom as Transfiguration Sunday, not just here at St. Paul's or even in the Lutheran Church, but in churches here in our Minnesota and around the world. And we would do well to pay attention to it. Peter began his eyewitness report this way. He said, "We did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." What does all that mean? Well, maybe it would be helpful to tell you why, not just what Peter said, but why he told us. He wrote his epistles, his letters, for very important reasons. Two of Peter's letters are included for us today. And if God did that, he had a reason for it. Peter wrote his first letter to people who were hurting, people who were under persecution. It was more than just mocking people for going to church. You and I maybe hear comments from others who don't go to church. "Why are you wasting your time?" No. It wasn't that kind of persecution. Literally, people were being arrested, torn apart from their families, never to be seen again. That's what the atmosphere and the temperature was like back at the time of Peter. And Peter was writing to people to tell them, It's worth it. It's worth it to lose everything, but hold on to Christ, even in times of persecution. But now Peter writes his second letter because he's trying to take his stand against the devil's schemes. That's who's behind all of this. That's who's behind persecution, but it's also what's behind the confusion that's going on in the Christian church today. I mean, if Satan can't keep people from coming into the front door of the church, what he'll do is he'll confuse what the teachings are. False teachers had infiltrated the Christian church, and they were undermining what Peter and the other eyewitnesses were saying. And so Peter has to take a stand and say, what we saw was true. It was reliable. It was credible. Well, that's why you and I can trust what Peter is writing today, because he tells us it's reliable. But also, he not only tells us that, we remember that Peter spent 3 years with Jesus, listening to all of his messages, all of his conversations, and he wrote down much of what Jesus said. But he also spent 3 years seeing all of Jesus' miracles. And what Peter is telling us today, it really happened. It's true. It's not fake news. It's not fantasy. It's real. It's reliable. And it's relatable. And it changes the way you and I think, what we prioritize, what's important to us. Well, what did Peter actually see? Well, this is what our reading says. He received honor and glory from God our Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." What did Peter see? Well, he saw the majesty of Jesus. He saw Jesus' glory. He saw Jesus being transfigured. The dictionary meaning for transfigured means in a complete change in form or appearance. Up until now, Jesus looked like every other normal 30-something Middle Eastern man. But now Jesus just reveals a small glimpse of his heavenly glory. The Gospels tell us he took Peter, James, and John with him and went up to a mountain to pray. As he was praying, his face changed. His clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Wow! This wasn't just somebody big. This was the most important person in history, and they saw that. Do you remember in the Old Testament when God revealed his presence to Moses? Moses couldn't even bear to look at him. God had to put him behind a rock so that he wouldn't be blown away by his presence. Now Jesus is just giving him a small glimpse of who he is to prove what he would come to do. Because what Jesus did is he showed his true identity. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine feeling what Peter felt? To be in the presence of the one true God? No tricks, just heavenly facts. What Peter was seeing was the power of Jesus. Because besides this heavenly change in Jesus' appearance, I told the children before, they weren't the only ones that were there. Who was there talking with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. Arguably the greatest prophets in Old Testament history. You see, when Peter's account would be told right after it was written to the people, a hush would come over the Jews. What? These weren't just all-stars or Hall of Fame. These were some of the greatest people ever to live. Peter saw it all. It removed all doubt for Peter who Jesus was. This event strengthened his faith. It assured him that Jesus was the one they had been waiting for. He was the Messiah. And now it had such a big impact on him, Peter recorded what he actually saw for all to see. Now, why is this important? It's important because you and I are literally in the presence of Jesus right now. We're one person away from Jesus, the one who saw him. We don't have to rely on oral or spoken accounts of history. Well, this person told this person told this person. Instead, we have it straight from the one who saw Jesus with his own eyes. So did you catch Peter's eyewitness report? You and I can see what Peter saw when we simply open up our Bibles. We see for ourselves what happened. We see the majesty of Jesus. So who do you say Jesus is? That's the most important question in history, because your answer will not only determine how you're going to spend your time each week, it's going to determine your eternity. Well, look at it this way. If you and I meet and you forget me, honestly, you haven't lost anything. I'm not very important. If you forget me, you haven't lost anything. But if you hear about Jesus, who came to die for your sins, and you forget about him, what have you lost? You've lost everything. My friends, the world mistakenly looks at Jesus just a man. World religions look at Jesus as just a man. Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus was just a great, important person. Sounds great, but they don't mean the same things you and I do. The Mormons will even say Jesus was a great example. He was a son of God. They don't mean it in the same way you and I do. Most people today just look at Jesus as a freedom fighter who fought the system, who stood up and was killed for what he was standing for. Nothing more than that. You and I look at Jesus as the most important person in history, because only he can be our Savior from sin. But in order to do that, he had to become human. He had to place himself under God's law. That same law applies to us. You know, that law that says that we're condemned. For every time we've said, I don't need to read my Bible today, Jesus made up for that sin. For all those times our minds drifted in church, Jesus made up for that sin with his perfect life. Because as the Son of God, only God could be perfect. Only God could have his death on the cross make up for the sins of all people for all time. Only God could rise from the dead. And it happened with Jesus. That's Bible fact. We have the eyewitness account. We have Jesus as the God-man in his transfiguration. And especially, we need to hear it this time of the year. This next week, everything changes. It's the 6 weeks of Lent. We're going to see Jesus allowing himself to be mocked, to be spit at, to be humiliated, to be abandoned. And he sure isn't going to look like the one who's come to save us from our sins. So today, in one last burst of glory, you and I get to see Jesus for who he truly is. Jesus didn't suffer because Roman's spear and because his friends let him down. Oh no, it wasn't those nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love for sinners like you and me. He suffered because he loved us and he gave himself for us. We also see Jesus' power in his transfiguration. When you think about it, Jesus did many other miracles that were recorded by eyewitnesses. So what's your favorite? Maybe it was Jesus feeding 5,000 people with a boy's small lunch. Maybe it was him walking on the water or stilling the storm. Or just maybe it was Jesus showing he had power over death by raising dead people back up. Well, look at it this way with Jesus' power. At a certain conference, an atheist was trying to prove to other people that Jesus was just trying to trick people, that Lazarus was not actually dead. He was only put in a tomb, and after 3 days, he would raise him from the dead by means of a trick. And to prove his point, he would say, in mocking terms, can anybody tell me why Jesus said the name Lazarus when he said, Lazarus, come out of the grave? An old man in the back stood up and boldly confessed his Christian faith. He said, sir, if Jesus wouldn't have said the name Lazarus, the whole graveyard of Bethany would have been raised from the dead. That's power. Did you catch Peter's eyewitness account? Now did you see what Peter saw? But I pray you also hear what Peter heard. Our eyewitness reporter records what he heard this way. He said he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. So what did Peter hear at the Transfiguration? Well, he heard a voice, but it wasn't just any voice. You know, have you ever been in your home or your apartment and you think you hear something, but there's nothing there? That's not what Peter heard. Peter heard an audible voice speaking, and who was it? It was God himself. It was a voice that the Father in heaven. And now he was pointing at Jesus and said, "This is my Son, whom I love." So what did that voice prove? That voice proved that Jesus is the Son of God. Identity revealed. But he also said with his mission, "I am well pleased." God showed that he accepted his Son's mission to serve as our Savior from sin. Did you catch Peter's eyewitness report? Did you hear what he heard? Today, God doesn't speak to us in the same way he spoke to Peter. I wished he did. I wished when I had a question about what to do, God would say, "Go right or go left. Take this opportunity or wait." No, God doesn't work that way. He works in a much better way. Instead, God has recorded for us everything that was on his mind that he wanted us to know. In the Holy Bible, God tells us what he's thinking. And God designated Jesus as his Son in many different pages of Scripture. When we hear about all the miracles that Jesus did, there can be no doubt. Jesus is unlike anyone else. He is the Son of God. When we hear Jesus speaking, he tells us now what our purpose in life is. Not just to spend it on ourselves, not to live according to our standards. We're freed from that. We're freed to live gratefully for him. Really, what God wants us to remember today is he wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants. And now God's word is like a pointer stick. Well, when I was going to school, they used pointer sticks. Today, I think teachers use, at least I use, laser pointers. When a teacher wants to emphasize something, they show something on a screen. They want your attention to be there. Well, God, through the Transfiguration, is showing us who we need to trust, who we need to follow, Jesus. He directs our attention to Jesus in both the Old and New Testament to point to Jesus as the Savior of the world. All the prophecies of the Old Testament came true in the New. You know, it's easy for us to forget God speaking to us, but through this eyewitness account, we get to hear what God wants for our lives. Who's your favorite news anchor that you trust? For me, it was a CBS anchor who served long ago. His name is Walter Cronkite. Does anybody here remember him? For me, that was the guy I trusted if I wanted to go hear my news. And if you remember him, the end of my sermon will make a lot more sense. He would end his newscast the way I'm ending this sermon. He would say something like, "And that's the way it was. Transfiguration Sunday, February 15th, 2026. This has been Pastor Scott Ilhoffen preaching on the sermon text, 2 Peter chapter 1, asking this question. Did you catch what Peter's eyewitness account? Did you see what Peter saw? Did you hear what Peter heard? As you and I walk out of these church doors, you and I walk out changed. Changed for the better, to live as his lights shining in this dark world. Amen.